Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be able to be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, as we've been worshiping you this evening. We're to worship you in spirit and in truth, and there is no other in all this world that deserves our love and our worship. The Lord said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others the way that God has loved you. We pray, God, for your grace and the empowering of your Holy Spirit to fulfill that call, that command, that commission. Encourage us tonight through your word. Open up our hearts and minds, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're standing, we ask you to open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 13. And so blessed to have you out tonight. And as we're in September already, and to think about our study in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night and Romans on Sunday, and to think where God has taken us through these many months. It's been such a blessing to travel together during these COVID days, to travel in God's word and to travel in fellowship and to move ahead. And I'm so thankful every time we get together that God encouraged us not to pull back or to hide out, but to step forward and to trust him and to gather together. We need this face-to-face, and we're blessed for others that you're able to watch online and feel a sense of being connected. This evening in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, then I stood on the sand of the sea. This is John the apostle writing it. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and his horns 10 crowns, and on his head blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And so they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Father, again, looking for your blessing upon your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We pray for that to be accomplished now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The word of God is very, very accurate, very true, very relevant for the time and the day in which we live. I was reading online that in our own county, that our county, the health department wants to declare racism a health issue. And every week that goes by and things that happen, it's strange. Yes, racism is a sin. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against others. And there's many sins out there. And it's all sin is a public health issue, if you want to know the truth. And but we're living in these particular days. And, you know, in the Bible days in the New Testament, if you didn't call Caesar Lord, your life could be taken from you. And we're living in a day, if you don't call Allah Lord, Allah Akbar, you can be killed as well. And we're living in a time right now that things are moving ahead. And if you don't call out the name of a certain movement or a certain individual, your life could be threatened. What is going on? Well, the Bible makes it clear that the days in which we live are spoken about in God's word. This is a time not to become angry and argumentative. It's a time to be filled with the love of God and the word of God and the spirit of God, and to be like all those who lived before us. Be strong and courageous, not arrogant, not prideful, but the fact is, the book that we have has told us how it ends. And my friends, because of Christ, we win in the end. We have all the information that's here, so let's receive what God has for us. In chapter 13, there's two individuals that are spoken about. These are literal people, literal individual, literal men. One is called the Antichrist, and that is spoken about in verse 1 through verse 10 specifically. And after that, in verse 11 through 18, is an individual called the false prophet. So two individuals that are going to come on the scene. So as we've gone through Revelation, it speaks about specifically the day and time in which we live. It's a very unfortunate, and I usually take every opportunity, but I always want to encourage, if you're a pastor and you have not taught the book of Revelation, you have not taken your people through Revelation, it's something that you should do, not because I said it, but in Revelation chapter 1, it tells us those who hear God's word, those who receive God's word, those who obey God's word, there's a blessing from God as you go through the book of Revelation. And people stay away from it. We need the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us about our lives and about who Jesus is. John 1, chapter 1, he shows this is who Jesus is. Chapter 2 and 3, he says, here's seven churches. Here's a message for seven churches. It's a message for today. It's a message for every individual. Chapter 4 and 5, we're taken to heaven. In chapter 4, they're worshiping. And some of our worship songs come right out of the book of Revelation. Chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 5, there's a scroll that needs to be opened, and they're wondering who can open it, and it's Jesus Christ, because he is the faithful Lamb, only one worthy. In chapter 6, we begin to see then a tribulation on earth. So the scroll is opened, and there's seven judgments and seven seals. Later on, there's seven trumpets, and later on, there's seven bowls. So these are a series of judgments coming against all the ungodliness on this earth. Pastor, I need to know, are we in the tribulation period right now? It can feel like it, I'm certain, but what's ahead is far worse than what's right now. But right now is a preview of coming attractions. Jesus said the way that you can know is that you'll see things happening with greater frequency and greater intensity than ever before. So earlier on in our Christian life, I've been walking with Jesus for 42 years, but it was interesting, the events that would take place that would be kind of tsunami in nature, but then it would be a great length of time until the next one. These happen on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. It's very intense, and it's happening. We're living in the days that Jesus talked about. These are the last days. He says, don't be deceived and know the church does not go through the tribulation period. I would admit that there are other believers that would teach that they do go through the tribulation period. But I'll rejoice with them because every believer in Jesus Christ will be raptured before the tribulation takes place. And it has to be that way. Because the tribulation is the wrath of God against all ungodliness. And Jesus Christ took that wrath on himself so that we can be forgiven of sins. And so the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Lamb of God is not going to subject his church, the bride of Christ, to the tribulation period where it's his wrath against all ungodliness. So the church is going to be taken out, and that can happen at any time. And once the church is removed, and that's what Revelation 4:1 is, John was caught up in heaven and saw what was going on, and then the tribulation is going to start, and it's a seven-year period. That seven-year period is divided into two three-and-a-half-year periods of time. The Bible will speak about a seven-year period of tribulation. It'll speak about 42 months, which equate to a three-and-a-half-year period of time. It'll speak about specifically 1,260 days, speaking about a three-and-a-half-year period of time. So tribulation is a seven-year period of time, and it's the wrath of God against all ungodliness. And all believers in Christ Jesus are taken before that tribulation begins. During that seven-year period of time, many people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And you want to see the mercy of God. We've already studied it. The mercy of God is such that in Revelation chapter 7, God, in his wonderful mercy and grace, he seals 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Jewish people. If you do the math, that's 144,000 sealed people that proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. 144,000 blessed and anointed and empowered by God, evangelists, because God wishes that none would perish, but all would come. So the tribulation period, the seven-year period, begins with all non-believers, all God rejectors on the earth. But during that seven-year period of time, the mercy of God is seen. And not only that, not only the 144,000 we already saw in Revelation 11, Two representatives come down from heaven, perhaps Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophet, and they are also anointed by God, and no one can harm them. And they proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ's name. They end up dying, being murdered at the end. They're laying in the street. The city and people are partying. They're giving gifts. They're so excited that these two representatives of God have been killed. Now our life will be better. But after 3 days, they rise from the dead like Christ did, and they see them alive. Not only that, we haven't yet come to it, but in Revelation 14, not only has God anointed 144,000, not only sending representatives from heaven, but he'll send an angel with the eternal gospel proclaiming it throughout the whole earth. Praise God, wishing that none would perish. You say to me, well then, if we're not in the tribulation period, I like living an ungodly lifestyle. Thanks for queuing it up for me. Thanks for telling me that even if I don't follow Christ right now, and if I'm a Christ rejecter, but then at least I'll come to faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Not so fast. If you aren't able to respond to Christ with his grace and his mercy and his truth and his love and his word and everything given, and you resist Christ right now, that's hardening your heart. That is a very strange bet to take, to think that during the tribulation period, when you're not able to do what we're doing right here, that if you do not take the mark of the beast that we'll see, then your life will be given. You will die a martyr's death. That's the stakes in the tribulation period. People are willing to do that. So what happens then? Well, what happens is things are moving to a one-world order. There's going to be a one-world order, a one-world government, a one-world leader, and a one-world religion. That's where it's all heading to. The animosity in the world has a lot to do with not wanting to have globalism or a one-world system in place. That's under the currents right now. It's a fight going on regarding that. So this person coming out of the sea, are you saying that John was on the Mediterranean Sea standing on the sand and he sees this beast, this monster coming out of the sea? Remember, the book of Revelation uses symbolism to help us understand. He is a world dictator coming out of the sea, and the sea means nations that he's coming out of. In Revelation, if you're there right now, if you turn over to chapter 17, it says in chapter 17, verse 15, then he said to me, the waters, the sea, which you saw, where the harlot sits, are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this individual, this one world leader, this dictator over the world, he's going to come out from amongst the people, amongst the nations. And it gives us a description. And you really need a study in Daniel chapter 7 to put together what is being communicated with the seven heads and the ten horns. But clearly, it has to do with the authority. It has to do with what took place earlier in the history with the various kingdoms. And that we can see earlier on with the Babylonian kingdom, the Egyptian kingdom, Assyrian kingdom, Median Persian kingdom. We can see with the Roman. In the Roman kingdom in Daniel, there was the statue that was built. And Nebuchadnezzar had that statue. And on the toes of that statue were 10 toes. And they're made with clay and made with iron. And in the end, there's going to be a 10-nation confederation here on this world, this planet. And this leader is going to come out of that. And he's going to reign and rule. It's going to be a revived Roman Empire again out of Daniel chapter 7. And in verse 3 it says, and I saw one of his heads as if it was mortally wounded. And so there's, again, something that takes place to this individual. This individual is not going to be coming wearing a red suit, a black outfit, and what people may think a devil looks like when they celebrate Halloween or something like that. This is going to be a charismatic leader. He's going to be somebody that can speak clearly, a great orator. He's going to captivate the minds and the hearts and the emotions of everyone in the world. And there's going to be an event that takes place. It looks like an assassination type of attempt on him, where there's a deadly wound that takes place. And it says that he was healed and the world marveled and they followed the beast. And that's what's going to take place. And so they worship, verse 4, the dragon who gave authority. Now, the dragon we saw in the last chapter is Satan. So you have Satan is the dragon. We saw that in chapter 12. As a matter of fact, if you weren't here in chapter 12, it tells us in verse 1, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon, and the feet, and the stars. And it tells us that verse 3, another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon. And that red dragon is Satan. So let's get the characters together right now. Let's look up here. So there's a dragon. The dragon is Satan. There is this beast coming out, and the beast is the Antichrist, the son of perdition. There's various names. So two characters so far. The dragon is Satan. The Antichrist is the beast. We're going to see here in just a minute, in verse 11, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. So instead of the sea, out of the land, he had two horns like a lamb. This is the false prophet. So there's three people working here in this earth. The devil, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Remember, the devil is a great imitator. We follow the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our Trinity. Satan has his Trinity. Satan, acting like the Father. The Antichrist, acting like Jesus Christ. Remember, anti, the word A-N-T-I, the preface A-N-T-I, it can mean against, but it also means instead of or in place of. When we speak of the Antichrist, he is the instead of Christ. He is not the opposite of Christ. He is the instead of Christ. He is in place of Christ. So you have Satan, the Father, the Antichrist, like the Son, and the false prophet, like the Holy Spirit. The false prophet is going to direct everybody to worship the Antichrist. And when they're worshiping the Antichrist, they're worshiping the dragon. So this is what's taking place. In this coming world, there's a one world religion, a one world government, a one world leader. And if you can just sense, spiritually speaking, what's happening in these days in which we live. I mentioned recently, but again, Barna Research says probably 20% of churches that once met are not going to meet anymore. They're done. They're going to close their doors. 30% or more of those that once attended and were part are not going to return to a church. Those are statistics. I mean, God can do whatever he wants. God can overrule all of that. But those are just where things are at right now. This COVID-19 has created a worldwide trouble and heartache around the world. But in your own heart, you know there's a lot of deception that's taking place. You know you've been misled. You know information that's been out there is not accurate. It's not correct. You know that initially they said they're following the scientific information. And you know that the CDC, which is the one giving that scientific information, has new information regarding the fact that things aren't as bad as what we thought they were. The CDC said only 6% of all the people that have died, only 6% have died purely of the coronavirus. The other 94, there's other factors that contributed to their death. That's from the CDC. But our governors and other leaders say, we're disregarding that. We don't want that information because it doesn't fit the narrative. And there's a narrative taking place in this world. And Jesus said, what's the sign? When his disciples in Matthew 24 said, what's the sign? What's the sign of all this happening? What's the sign of the age, of the end of the age? He said, first thing, he didn't say, look out for the Antichrist. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And as a pastor, my heart drops when I see such great deception taking place. We need the Word of God. We need to walk in the Spirit of God. We're not here to be rebellious of anything or anyone, but we need to walk in the Spirit and in the truth of God's Word. And if we don't, it's very unsettling. And that's why you can feel a great sense of unsettledness or troubling going on. This beast, mortally wounded, and we don't know. Remember, he's the great deceiver. So in some way, they're able to deceive as though he is dead and he's alive again. But it causes people to worship him. In verse 4, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So this Antichrist, this instead of Christ, he rises up. And because of a false presentation, a false miracle. And my friends, there are the church has done a great disservice having various types of miracle rallies and this and that, which isn't true. There's a great deception that is taking place. I believe God can do anything he wants to do. And I believe God is a God of great miracles. And I believe God moves in that way. But it's not through the rallying of individuals and people that cause that to happen. What happens here is that the false prophet is going to direct people to worship the beast. And as they worship the beast, they're worshiping the dragon. And they see, the question is, who's like the beast? For us, we say, who's like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? That's what we say. Again, as you go through it, you see the enemy, he steals the things that are of God. And what happens is, in verse 5, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So it's the last half of the tribulation period. I had mentioned before, just in the book of Daniel, especially in chapter 7, it speaks about much of what we're talking about. But in 7:25, it says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Daniel 7, verse 25. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change the times and the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, times, and a half a time. I want to make something very clear here because the word saint is used here. Let's move down a little bit further. In verse 6, he opened his mouth, blaspheming against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, all who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him. And by the way, all who dwell in heaven, he's got to give a reason why the church isn't here. What happened? Well, the rapture happened. Well, the Antichrist has to give a reason for it. And he's just going to blaspheme those who dwell in heaven. I mean, we're with God. It was granted to him in verse 7 to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him. And so people will say, see, I told you, the church is going to go through the tribulation period because it says saint. And saint is a New Testament word. Very true. It's very accurate. Saint is a New Testament word. But it ain't just in the New Testament. Saint is also a reference to the Old Testament followers of God. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And what he's saying is, you're going to be worshiping someone or something. We're all worshipers. And I love it when you speak to an atheist. I don't believe in God. You know, I don't believe in the worship. I don't believe in God. You know, I'm non-religious. I'm an atheist. I'm against God. You worship something. You worship yourself. You worship your belief. You worship your ideology. We're all worshipers. And we're going to either worship God in spirit and in truth, or we're going to worship someone or something else. Everybody worships something. That's why it says don't have any false idols. Because if you're not worshiping the true living God, you're worshiping a false idol. Notice in verse 8 again, whose names have not been written in the book of life. There is a book. There's called the book of life. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I just rejoice when I see that God's plan for our salvation started before he ever created man and woman. His plan was already in place. when man and woman sinned in the garden and it took place, it wasn't as though they had to have a conference in heaven, a Zoom call with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit saying, we got to figure out what to do now. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And I love that because if God waited, I probably wouldn't have been saved. And living my life is just like, ah. But no, he saved me and he saved you through Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. These are tribulation saints. Again, we are in heaven. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Notice verse 9. When we went through the tribulation, when we went through Revelation 2 and 3, it says, those who have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, the church isn't here. It just says right here, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And it says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. My friends, no one's going to get away with it. So right now you're wondering what is going on. Why is things happening? God, why don't you step in? Look at the things that are taking place. Look at the injustice that are taking place. Listen, nobody gets away with it. The guilty, we sow, we reap. God is saying, I've got it handled. I'll take care of it. Satan is a great deceiver. We know that to be true. We know that in the book of 2 Corinthians, it tells us clearly a little bit about this Antichrist because he represents the false, he represents the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us in verse 13, for such false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles, and no wonder, Satan himself transforms himself to an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. He's saying to us that the Antichrist is a sinister minister. That's who he is. And Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And this person comes on and it just deceives people. He's wonderful. Don't you know how wonderful he is? I mean, he's dead. He's alive. Look at him. Follow him. Let's do what he says. When we worship him, we're worshiping Satan. So the false prophet comes in verse 11. I saw another beast coming out of the earth. That's out of the land. And maybe from Israel, he had two horns like a lamb and he spoke like a dragon. So he's got dragon breath. The dragon is Satan. He's speaking like Satan. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast and in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast who was dead through a wound and was healed. So like the Holy Spirit directs us to Jesus Christ. Someone says, who led you to Christ? Who led you to Jesus Christ? It could have been an individual. Praise God for that. But the biblical answer is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit took what was said about Christ in the gospel. And the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. And the Holy Spirit, when we're convicted of sin, the Holy Spirit points to Jesus and says, there is your salvation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we fall and we worship Jesus and we thank you. And we worship him, giving glory to the Father in heaven. Continue with me. We have a short time left. It says, he performs great signs in verse 13 so that even makes fire come down from heaven, just like Elijah did on the earth in the sight of men. Remember, they're imitating the things that God has already done. They're false. They're deceivers. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted to him to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And so with all the technology and everything going on right now, they're going to make this image. So this Antichrist, they're going to make an image of him. And the false prophet is going to direct people to worship that image. Remember Nebuchadnezzar made that huge statue, bow down when we play the music, worship the image. So it's going to come back and people are called to worship this image. Verse 15, it was granted power to give breath to the image. So there's things that are pretty fascinating that takes place. So it looks as though the image of the beast. I think when I was a little kid, when I went to Disneyland and I saw Abraham Lincoln in that center, you know, he stood up and he talked and think of where we've come And so they create this image, they create this beast with all the technology, who knows, artificial intelligence. I mean, who knows what's going to be playing into it. So, and it says, and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So that's where it comes down to. The evangelism in the last days, you worship the beast or you die. And again, that's in place right now. That spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the darkness is in place right now. You find yourself in a situation opposing people that have a philosophical view different than yours, and they're dead set on that, and you don't follow their commands right before you, it's your life. We've seen it. We've seen it take place. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, verse 16, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead, so that no one can buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So what's going to take place in the end is that you must receive that mark of the beast. And that mark then would entitle you to survive, to live, to buy, to have food, to survive. And if you refuse to take that mark, you will die. Listen now, for anybody listening, you take the mark of the beast and you are going to hell. There's no second chance. It already tells us in the Word of God. Once you take that mark, you've made your decision and you've made your allegiance to the Satan and to darkness and to hell. So be certain of this. I'm telling you the gospel truth. You take the mark, your decision to live a life eternally from God in hell, that's where you're headed. So you may be watching this, listening. In the tribulation period, Christ can come for his church at any time. We could be a very short period of time away from the beginning of this tribulation period. Once the rapture takes place, tribulation begins. If you believe the rapture can take place at any time, and I'm not bringing any false hype or false hope, I'm just saying I believe the gospel to be true. I believe what Christ is true. I'm looking forward to being with Christ. I know he's going to take his church. I want to be diligent. I want to be serving him. I want to be ready, and so do you. That's why you're here tonight. But once we go, what's going to take place? Don't take the mark. Turn your heart towards Christ. Turn your heart to Christ tonight. This is very real. So you may say, well, how does that work out? I don't know, but we know the technology is there already to put any little device in your skin and in your forehead. It's already being done. There's already tracking devices. You know, this isn't in your body, but it's tracking you, and it's telling people everything you do and where you're at, and they listen in on things. I mean, the technology is there already. It's there. It's worldwide. I've been into third world countries, and they hardly have anything to eat, but they have cell phones. I've been where they're on a camel in the wilderness settings, and they have cell phones. The technology is widespread. Notice that it's a number, 666. We don't know what it is. It's some sort of marking, some sort of identification. I don't know what it is. And guess what? I'm not going to be here to know. So I don't know. And I don't care to know right now, but you and I know that we're living in those days right now. It can happen at any time. And I thank God. Listen, we're wrapping it up right now. I thank God that he doesn't relate to you as a number. He does not relate to you as a number. You're not a number to him. You're a name. He knows your name. You're not a number. You're not a commodity in this world. You are a person. You're uniquely made, and he knows you by name. And it says he has a heavenly name for you as well. Praise God. He relates to us personally. And we see here as well, as we're studying and looking at this Jesus Christ, and he is not the instead of Christ. He is the one. And I love in Isaiah 46 in verse 3, it says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. Even I will carry you, and I will deliver you. Rejoice. Rejoice. Be in the place of God. Be in the place of God. Where God is, that's where I want to be. And God is with every believer indwelling. God is with you. God is tabernacling amongst you. Let's stand for our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we are again grateful to be able to meet like this. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have left us, God, with all we need to know you and to live for you. Father, I pray for the church right now that you would awaken us as a body of believers, that you'd excite our hearts, that yes, you told us in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we pray, God, that we'd be experiencing more of that overcoming work of Christ in our lives. God, I pray for wisdom, that you'd help each of us make decisions each day and throughout each day. There are a number of things, God, that we have to think about and think through. There's things with our own life and our families and friends. We pray, God, for your favor and your blessing as well. We pray, God, that through this Labor Day weekend, you would be blessing our young adults on the trip they're going to be taking. You to bless, God, the activity we have planned at Bender Field. And God, we pray for Sunday, just a wonderful day together again, being able to study that we're not no longer condemned, but we have this new life in you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.